All right, we're back again, and we're talking to Dr. Ron Hoffman about all the vitamins. And let me just get to, before I get to Mina, I want to ask you something. Is there such a thing as taking too much vitamins? You know, certainly with like water-soluble versus fat-soluble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Water-soluble you can get in trouble with, too, because, you know, back at my own medical school, they documented toxicity with vitamin B6. There was a B6 craze for PMS, and some women were developing dizziness and balance problems from B6. So it's even possible those are water-soluble vitamins. But the fat-soluble vitamins, as you know, accumulate. Vitamin A, D, E, vitamin K.
Yeah,
they can actually accumulate over time, and you can get into trouble.
So I'm going to talk to you about vitamin D in a minute. So let's go to Mina from Brooklyn.
Good morning, Dr. Samadi. Thank you for a wonderful program.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask your guest doctor that I have read about it that as we age, our body is not capable of producing vitamin D from sun as we get older. Is that true or is not?
Ron?
Well, yes, it is, because the aging skin lacks the receptors that translate UV light into vitamin D synthesis. And besides, as many people get older, they have a history of skin problems, skin cancer, skin blotches.
Right.
They photoaging, they shun the sun. So definitely that's true. And therefore, requirements for vitamin D go up at precisely the time in your life where you need more vitamin D.
Okay, so now that we're talking about vitamin D, let me jump in, because that's one of the vitamins that I personally take. And I take about 2,000 unit with some calcium. And I think my own personal opinion is that I think that we're spending more time indoors, we're behind computers more, and we're not out there getting enough sun. And also there has been such sun phobia and so much about skin cancer and so much of these sunscreens that we're covering our skin, and we may not be getting enough vitamin D. How much vitamin D is necessary, and what do you look for? Is there a blood test that you check, or how do you know if I come to you what I should be taking?
Well, this isn't rocket science yet. There's a lot of controversy about this. But I take a sort of a paleo perspective on vitamin D, because as you say, you know, we have changed our lifestyles dramatically in the past few centuries. We're inside. We shun the sun. We used to walk around, nature intended, without clothes in the sunlight for large parts of the year. And therefore, we made vitamin D. In fact, that's the reason for light-skinned people, is so that it permits the skin to absorb more UV light. So a typical lifeguard in the course of spending a day on the beach can synthesize up to 10,000 international units of vitamin D. So I think that some people may do fine on 2,000 to 5,000 international units. I never see toxicity even with such high doses.
So basically, I think what you need is like 10 to 15 minutes a day, 3-4 times a week, just exposing your skin, and you would get that kind of vitamin D if you're out in the sun. Obviously, as you get older, I think, like, you know, the cholesterol under your skin can be affected. I mean, you need sun to activate some of the receptors in order to convert to vitamin D3. Let me bring in another doctor. Dr. Goodman is also online. Dennis Goodman, who is also an internist, associate professor at NYU, and also a cardiologist. Dr. Goodman, good morning. Dave Samadi here. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning.
Well, thank you for being here. We're talking the entire show about vitamins, and which is very unusual for me to just cover one topic, but we got so many calls, and we also have Dr. Ron Hoffman with us, and we're talking about what's good for you, what should you be taking, and all the lines are people are waiting to be answered. But let me ask you something. I'm 48 years old. Fairly healthy, but I have a very stressful life, career. I'm getting about 6 hours of sleep, but during the day, the level of stress, running a program, cases, etc. If I come to you, first of all, what kind of test would you get on someone like me, and what kind of vitamins should I be taking? I think I'm getting enough fruits and vegetables, but how does it work? What kind of tests and examination is being done right now?
So, David, you know, that's a very good question, and it's hard to give a short answer. But I just want to say one thing. For me, I'm actually director of integrative medicine at NYU, and I get a lot of that kind of thing. So many people coming and asking me questions that they tend not to get good answers from other physicians, mainly because, you know, in Western medicine, we're really not trained well in nutrition and supplements, and yet there's a huge interest out there. And I have this feeling, and I tell all patients, wellness is not the absence of disease. To be healthy, to be well, you have to focus on four things. Nutrition, and that includes taking supplements when necessary, exercise and flexibility, stress management, and sleep. And I'm giving you that answer because it comes to something you asked, which is how much sleep should you get? And that's a crucial, very, very important thing to do for people to sleep properly. So I'm bringing that up because it's another whole conversation, but many people have sleep apnea and they don't get a good night's sleep, and then they fatigue during the day and they stress even more than usual because they're so tired. Let's get to nutrition and supplements.
So go ahead.
Sure. I'm a believer that we're not getting enough adequate nutrition in our diets today. So why did supplements come about? Because when you think about it, for years and years, we've had thousands of years where people are doing very well, just eating plant-based foods and animals out there. But what's happened is the soils are now deficient. A lot of the food we get is processed. The meat we get is coming from cows and animals that are getting antibiotics and all sorts of things. So we have a situation where the food we're eating is not as healthy as we'd like it to be. And a lot of people don't even eat the good stuff like the green vegetables. So your question is an excellent one, and there are a couple of what I think are crucial things that we need to know, which is number one, I heard you talking about it. Vitamin D is very, very important. The beauty for vitamin D in terms of what we do is we have a level that you can check. I don't know what your last guest said about this, but I check vitamin D levels on everybody. And I find most people are actually deficient.
And what should be the level?
I think the level should be 45 to 55.
So somewhere...
Above 30 we say is okay, but it's not great. And certainly in my mind doesn't have to be above 55.
Okay, so let's go to April. April, good morning. Dr. Samadi here.
Yes, good morning to both of you. Thank you for your very informative radio program.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask... two questions, if I could. Number one, my daughter, she's a young woman. They always talk about putting on sunblock. She wants to know, from her point of view, if she puts sunblock on her face but walks around in the summer, you know, down the streets doing her regular everyday stuff with shorts and a T-shirt, but no sunblock on, you know, her legs or her arms, just on her face to protect from wrinkles and all that. Is she going to absorb enough vitamin D? Does it go through a T-shirt? You know, how much? She doesn't want to leave her face exposed to the sun.
I got
sun,
you.
What they talk about.
All right, let me get Dr.
That's
Hoffman
one
in.
Yeah. I have another question after.
I'll point out to you that there's some amazing statistics from states like Arizona and Florida about the degree of vitamin D deficiency, precisely because people shun the sun, and when they go out, they're smearing themselves with sunscreen. So that just going out like that is not an insurance policy for getting adequate vitamin D. I also point out that there are actually some things you can take internally, like internal sunscreens. Studies have shown that by taking a dollop of tomato paste, which is rich in lycopene, on a daily basis for several weeks, you can minimize photo damage from sunlight. The lycopene is very effective. Also, a recent study shows that niacinamide, which is a B vitamin, 500 milligrams of niacinamide taken for a year, reduced the incidence of skin cancers by 20% in an Australian population. I think there are actually some ways that you can get an internal sunscreen-like effect.
All right, let me jump in a little bit because, as you mentioned, Dr. Goodman, in medical school, we don't learn a lot about these vitamins. And so there are a lot of studies, and depending on what you pick, there are some observational studies and very few randomized studies. So, for example, like they looked at about 87,000 female nurses that took vitamin E, and they thought in the observational study, reducing like heart disease by 30%, but when they randomized those studies, there was no real effect to this. Vitamin A, taking large amount of vitamin A, they thought that it reduces lung cancer. They randomized it, follow up for 4 years. In fact, it increased the lung cancer. Right. So, Dennis, are we picking the kind of studies that we want, and we sort of like talk about some of the benefit of these vitamins that could be not purposely deceiving the public, or do we just don't have enough and good randomized study to find out what's the effect of vitamins?
That's a great question, David. I hope you don't mind, but I just want to go back to your listener because I think it's so great that we have listeners and they call in with a question. My feeling, there's no problem covering your face, putting the suntan lotion on your face and putting a hat on. because we don't want, you know, the effects of skin damage on your face. So I just want you to know, for my vote would be, yeah, expose other parts of your body. You don't have your face exposed. So that, I don't know about Dr. Huffman agrees with that, but that would be what I would tell
I would agree. Yep. Yep.
Okay, so let me go back, because you're asking a brilliant question, which is, why is it that supplements in general have a very bad name? Would you agree with me, David? What happens is every time there's a negative study, there it is in the medical journals, it's all over the newspaper, it's in the press. They love to come out and say, these things don't work. Right, because he has this study and that study. Because when we try to do big double-blind randomized studies with supplements, it's extremely difficult to prove anything. There's so many variables in anything that we're trying to look at. And when you try to start to say, well, is it the vitamin E, is it the C, it's the E, it's very, very difficult. So we get a whole lot of variable results. And when it comes out negative, then everybody gets to hear about it. And it is looking like there's certain things that when you take them in high doses don't do as well. Like vitamin E over 500 units may actually contribute to heart disease.
Right.
Vitamin A in high doses seem to increase the risk of lung cancer. So we get nervous, right? And then we start to say, oh, now all supplements are bad. But when you look overall, and I myself, you come back, you ask me a question, there's certain things that I think are crucial. I hope we get to talk about magnesium, where the body, there's so many observational studies showing that magnesium makes a huge difference when you're deficient in magnesium.
As a result of stress and as a result of lifestyle and everything else.
So what I want to say to you is, I tell people, look, there's so much controversy out there about which ones you should take, that I think I have like this top five supplements, which we can just go through just to tell you, and then you can pick on whichever ones. I think everybody should take a multivitamin, unless you're managing to get that 3 to 5 portions of vegetables every day and they're grown in a place where, you know, the soil's not deficient. That would be number one. I talk about magnesium. I talk about some type of omega-3. I prefer krill oil. I talk about vitamin K2. And I like CoQ10 in general. But I
all right,
think
I'm going to come back to
those,
you.
If you cover those things, yeah, you've got the big five. Because if you don't take anything, you're probably deficient. Oh, vitamin D, by the way, that's crucial as well. I mentioned that.
I'm going to come back to you on this vitamin K2 because I want to learn more about this. Let me go to Odette from Astoria. Odette, good morning. Dr. Samadi here.
Yes, good morning. Thank you again for the show, and thank you to Dr. Huffman for being there. I've been listening to you and learning from you over the years. I also have been taking some of your vitamin nutrients. About the depletion of B12 for people who have diabetes and take metformin, it also, B12, I heard and I read that the methylcobalamin form of B12 is very important for the brain. In fact, I've been using a sublingual B12 methylcobalamin.
What's the dosage?
Well, I'm looking at the bottle right now, 400 milligrams.
Micrograms.
It's of folate with B12 methyl, 5 milligrams.
Odette, how long have you been taking vitamin B12 for?
I've been taking this as an addition to the B complex, I think, for the past 30 years.
Oh,
and
30
especially
years.
In the last 2010 to 2020,
oh my goodness,
because I've been under great stress. And I concur with both doctors about the importance of magnesium. I take 2 capsules of magnesium asporotate, which is very bioavailable to the body. Every night, I sleep like a baby. I am under great stress. And often, I've been sleep deprived when I was taking care of my mother for 4 years while she was in the nursing home.
Okay, let me get Dr. Huffman in to talk about magnesium for 30 seconds. Magnesium, obviously, as you're stressed out, maybe you would need some supplements of magnesium, and she sleeps well.
Yeah, you know, just on that thing with the B12, she's talking about a form of B12, which is the sort of the Rolls Royce of B12. You know, there's cyanocobalamin, which is common in many supplements and B complexes. That's the cheaper and often effective form, but for some people, they don't methylate properly. And we now have, Dr. Goodman is aware of, that we have genetic tests that tell people if they are poor methylators, and then they need this more premium form of folate along with methylcobalamin to do good things in the brain. So this is an important area, and naturally, it's the basis of pharmaceutical supplements like serifolin NAC. I think you've heard about this, Deplin in psychiatry. They use these B vitamins for the brain.
What genetic test are we talking about?
This is a test called the MTHFR test, and it measures, it looks at SNPs or polymorphisms of this gene, which make it harder for people to methylate.
So it's a blood test?
It can be a blood test or even a saliva test using DNA.
And these type of patients who have problem with methylation, they will have to be on these vitamins like this?
They do better, instead of using folic acid, which is a synthetic B, they do better on folate, methyl tetrahydrofolate, or instead of cyanocobalamin, they may use hydroxy or methylcobalamin. That works better for them.
All right. So, Odette, wait online. I want to bring another listener. We have Jeff from New York City. Jeff, good morning. Dr. Somadi here.
My call. I have a question about probiotics. I'm a little confused about the best time to take them, and are there any foods you should take before them to help them be better absorbed by your body?
So probiotics, which is like to increase the number of good bacteria in your colon, has been shown that it actually helps with many different things, whether it's reduce inflammation, prevention of cancer, and certainly for starting from your skin to your whole entire health. And there are a lot of companies that sell these probiotics. Dr. Goodman, what do you say about this? I tell the patients if they're about to go to the hospital to take probiotics as a way to prevent C. difficile or any kind of infections from the hospital.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, when I was talking about the big five, I think probiotics is another, you know, we're all learning so much now about.
See, the numbers are growing now. Now it's getting to like 8 or 9.
We're all understanding now that if your gut bacteria are not healthy or you don't have enough. So I think there are some very good probiotics. It's, if you're going to be exposed to situations where you're going to get antibiotics, where you're going to be, where you have any illness, you're in the hospital, you have any GI symptoms, I feel like you supplement with a probiotic. I don't give everybody a probiotic. I don't know how the others feel, but I definitely think it's a reasonable thing to do, and especially people with GI problems.
Okay, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back to finish the last 10 minutes talking about vitamins.